Welcome into episode 3, everyone, of Who's Together podcast. I am your co-host, Lauren Moses.
And I'm Quinn Blandon. You already know what time it is today.
What is going on, Quinn? It is Sunday, which means the football team just had a game, homecoming weekend at that. But before we get into football, you know, we always have to talk about football. We're also going to talk a little bit about basketball because the blue and white scrimmage is coming up. You guys, at the end of this episode, will hear an interview that I did with Caden Shedrick from the men's basketball program. But first off, homecoming weekend on ground, usually something that is highly regarded. A lot of people are talking about it and wanting to go. UVA women's swim and dive team, they were recognized during the football game for winning back-to-back championships. I mean, we talked about it before. All we do is win, win, win.
Literally, that's all we do. And I love our dive team, actually. Our swim and dive team, like, they're amazing. Like, the amount of, like... I just like the little tattoo they get on the sales during like the tournaments. Like, I think that's cool, honestly, in my opinion.
Like, yeah, and they are, a lot of them, you know, are also training with Team USA and things like that. But when we talk about the women's program, they are returning this upcoming season, which is going to start here soon. They're returning 3 individual NCAA champions, Kate Douglas, Alex Walsh, and Gretchen Walsh, siblings. And then the men's team... And then the men's team is coming off their 3rd straight top 10 finish of the NCAA championships, the first in the program history. So that's dope. And they are returning 8 of 10 All-American performers. The fact that you have 10 All-Americans on one team, that's amazing. But we know that a lot of teams do get recognized for their achievements on and off the court at different times in the football games. But something that I saw before the game even started was a picture of the stadium, Quinn, where there just wasn't that many people there.
Yeah.
For homecoming. That shocked me.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. And I think it's just one of those things where it's like, it's uncertain. It's a lot of uncertainty going on. And so I think fans are just not knowing and not understanding what's going on. And so, you know, I saw the photo too, and it didn't look really, you know, appealing to me either.
Well, it's also tough because we took another loss. We are now 2-4 at home against Louisville this past Saturday. I think this was the game that, you know, everybody was kind of just saying, like, this has to be the one, like, right? Like, this is the one where we can turn it around. Their quarterback injured, not going to be playing. This could be the time where we start clicking. And early on in that game, it looked like we were going to, you know,
be back.
Or at least find a rhythm. And that's what it seemed like. Yeah. They, you know, behind Armstrong, it seemed like they were going to start finding their charisma, but they couldn't really find the beat. Like, I was thinking about it like a dance. It's like you're dancing, but you're not dancing on beat, is what yesterday looked like to me. What did you see against Louisville?
It was bad. It was bad. I think, honestly, like you said, at first it was great at first. I'm excited. I'm in the car. I'm watching. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, we're good. Like, we're getting turnovers off rip again. And I'm like, oh, we're great. We go down, we score, or we kick a field goal first. I'm like, okay. Then we go down, throw a bomb on the next play. And I'm just like, what else do we need right now? Like, we're good. And then after that, after I seen him run that 44-yard touchdown, and I said, yep, here goes Virginia football. And it just sucks, honestly, right now. But I think it's a lot to deal with, honestly, from being an alumni to being a fan to being a person that just likes football. It's just like, it's hard to watch half of the stuff. Like, come on, guys. Like, we can do a lot better than what's going on. Like, we can do a lot better. But, you know, it is what it is right now.
Yeah. And something that stuck out to me was, I mean, we've talked about QB. We talked about Armstrong and you know, mm-hmm. it all kind of starting with him as the head of the snake. But you've also talked about the running game and that you've liked what you've seen from them. But this game, it seems like they totally digressed. 25 total carries and total 6 yards.
Yeah. I know we talked about the run game, and I think it's great, but we just didn't play all phases of football. You know, we didn't have a run game. We barely had a pass game. We just didn't execute anything. Yeah. And so that's what it just comes down to. And I know Tony Elliott tweeted yesterday after his press conference, like, he's tired of, like, hearing about the old culture and, like, what he's trying to rebuild in. Yeah. And, like, I understand what he's saying because, like, it's tough. That's all they have to rely on. Like, you're a media person. You've done talk to, you know, coaches and stuff and interviewed them. And, you know, that's how you make stories. Like, that's how you get headlines. That's how you make a living doing what you guys do in the media. But, like, I get it. But it's also just, like, we are in a rebuild. We are, you know, here to change a culture that was already established, which is his culture. So, you know, it comes with the territory. But yeah. I just think overall, we just need to play with energy and really have a fight about us. Like, I think right now we don't have no fight in us. We're just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Everyone's just there. It's not, we're doing all. I mean, defense is holding their own. I mean, you can only do but so much and, you know, stop them from doing so much. But, you know, at the end, it kind of got carried away a little bit. But, I mean, it's still tough as a team when we're not doing all the things together. Like, if we do it all together, we're great. Yeah. We're going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
On point, on cue. But we just haven't found that rhythm.
Well, one thing that did come out of – I don't know if it's really even – good to say, but I mean, it's something that will be in history books at UVA forever. Armstrong's 50th touchdown pass as a Cavalier happened, and he's now tied for first place in program history with 56 touchdowns. So, hey, you get to say that you're in history books, and you know, assuming that he throws more, he will be number one all by himself at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, it's there for him to beat it. But, I mean, it also is going to come down to him executing, the receivers executing, the O-line blocking. And then it comes to defense creating turnovers as they have been. And defense stopping the offense from scoring, which is, you know, it's the game. But it could happen. But I think the most important thing is whatever coach – I mean, it's just like what Mendenhall did. Like, when Mendenhall came in, we already had a set culture of what was going on. He had to destroy that culture to build the culture he wants.
It's a lot of unlearning and relearning when new coaches come in.
That's it. That's all it is. And so when it gets to this point now, it's like, you know, Tony Elliott wants his way. It's not, you know, Mendenhall's way no more. It's Tony Elliott's way.
Yeah.
And so we have to – he's breaking that culture down like – he's not saying it was a bad culture, but he has a winning mentality too. He has the winning blueprint as well. And so we have to be at this point where we have to break that culture and accept what this new culture is going to be and what he wants to do for this program, which is going to be special, but it's going to take time. Like this year, like, cool, this is our rebuild year. I didn't expect us to be 18-0 at this rate. Like, we don't even play that many games, but – I didn't expect us to be 18-0 and be playing for a national championship this year. Like, no, like, we got to crawl before we can walk again. Like, this is a rebuild year. It happens. But people don't want to see that. They just are used to Mendenhall and it's just the way he is. And so we just got to get to it and just break the old habits, basically, and create these new habits. And, you know, next week we have a bye, which is good. I think it's really good that we have a bye next week because now it's like, okay, we played some tough games, been in nail biters, won some. We lost quite a few.
Lost more than we won, but.
We lost quite a few. But it's just now it's to the point it's just like, look, guys.
Time to regroup.
It's time to regroup. Like, are we going to be who we want to be?
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, like, I always say, like, and it was just funny, like, when Justin Anderson, like, tweeted at me, like, on Twitter.
I saw
just
that.
Like,
I was going to bring that up.
Like we stink. Yeah, we're stinking it up right now. We're stinking it up. But, you know, and I like what he said. It was just like, JPJ wasn't built in a day. Like, and that resonated with me because, like, at one point they were kind of going through that rebuilding phase too. And then they just been
broke through.
Go, 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 go. And it's like, they've been dominant after dominant after dominant. I mean, of course they've had one coach for a very,
I was going to say, you think about how long that they've had that one coach have to build that culture for so many years.
So I get it. Yeah. And so it's a little different because you look around like all our sports. A lot of our sports teams have the same coach for a long time, and they're doing very well because that culture is that culture.
Yep.
Like, we get glimpses of that culture, but it's like they don't really stick around that long with us in football as coaches. So it's like they have it built. And so, you know, I think Tony Elliott will be one that will stay for a while and continue that culture to be built. And so I'm just excited to see where it goes, but I just think this bye this week is going to be really helpful and something to really, like, take us to our next level. Like, we have, you know, quite a few games left this, you know, this season, and we just got to play. Forget everything else. Just play football.
Yes. One of those games that we will be looking out for, it's not the game that you're going. I think you're going to the Miami game. Their next game after the bye week will be against Georgia Tech, who just beat Duke, which we know Virginia lost to. But something you brought up, you talked about Justin Anderson, another alum, was tweeting about the game. Your good old pal, Micah Kaiser, said that he was blaming COVID for stunting the momentum of this program. You were around the team. I don't know. It wasn't 2020. Was it 2019?
I was there last year. Well, last season.
Oh, 2021.
I missed COVID. Yeah.
Okay. What are your thoughts about that? Because we all know that COVID impacted, like, literally every sports program known to man, right? We also know that there was a lot of adversity, whether you had players who were getting sick, coaches that were getting sick, opponents you were supposed to play who you're no longer playing. So it kind of stunts what you're preparing for these games. Like, everyone obviously was impacted. Can you say that COVID impacted Virginia football any differently than it did another program?
I mean, because our COVID year, what we went, we were decent.
I'm gonna look it up.
I don't remember our exact stats of what we went that year, but it was decent. And then the next year, it was like, it was okay. Like, and then after that, Mendenhall was like gone type of thing, I think.
Yeah. So, okay. So 2019 season, it was, you guys went 9-5. Yeah. 2020 season, COVID year, it was, let me see, 5-5.
Yeah.
And then last season,
6-6. Yeah. And so it's just, I think what Micah is saying is just like, because I think the year before that, we were in the Orange Bowl. Like, we were in the Orange Bowl playing for the ACC championship. And it's like, okay, what do we have now?
Yeah.
Like, what do we have now?
It's like,
yeah, literally. It's like we went from, you know, went 2-10 my first year there, went to a bowl game, you know, the Military Bowl. Then, you know, I think that following year they played in the Belk Bowl.
Yep.
And then the following year they went to the ACC Championship and then played in the Orange Bowl. And then it's just like after that it was like, okay, we did good, then COVID hit. And it's like all the juice and like momentum we were building up and having, it just, I see what he's saying. It's just like,
yeah,
it's just been going down for us.
Yeah.
Then we get new coaches. It's just like, what else do we got now at this rate?
Yeah, that makes sense.
You see what I'm saying? So it's just like, I see what he's saying. And so I think it did kind of shock our momentum because we were high. We were on a high. So, I mean, we had Bryce Perkins, but we also didn't get Brennan Armstrong, that's equivalent to a Bryce Perkins. Not saying they're like the exact same, but they're both putting up great numbers.
Yeah.
And so that's just how it is. And, you know, COVID sucked. But, I mean, I just think it's also we're in like a rebuild period too with in recruiting, with kids we have there, with everything we got going on. So it's just like everything just looks like a momentum killer and just like a drive just like killer, basically.
And I want fans to know, like, even though, you know, this is what's going on in this season right now, as Quinn just talked about through Mendenhall's journey or his era, like, it's going to get better. And I feel like the whole no fans in the stands thing is just, it's discouraging as an athlete. So, like, I mean, women's basketball, pretty sure you know, we don't get the fans that men's basketball gets at all. And, like, yes, we understand why people come out versus one sport versus the other. Yeah. Whatever the reason may be, I just want to encourage fans who, you know, aren't, who may not be going to a game because of the wins and losses. That should not be the reason why you attend a game. You know, like, I think that the more athletes have fans behind them, the better or more likely they are to play better, to show up and give the energy and effort. Because at the end of the day, like, we do it for the name that's across our jerseys, which is Virginia, and for you all in the stands because you are there. So don't get discouraged over the wins and losses. Things are going to turn around. You keep showing up. You keep supporting. This program isn't going to let you down. So
yeah, but with her saying that, for athletes listening to this as well, no matter who's in the stadium, who's around, you got here for a reason. Like, you're here because you're talented, you're a high caliber athlete. And so when you step out on whatever field you're playing on or court you're playing on or, you know, water you're in, it's go time. Like, no matter who's in the stands, no matter what's going on, it's go time. Like, you have to put on a show no matter what. Like she said, like, you know, you have the name across your, you know, your chest, but you also have a name across your back. And you got to play for that no matter what, too. And so when you step out on that field, it's go time. Like, I don't care if it's two people in the stands. You better make sure them two people leave with a smile on their face and said, that person right there, he put on a good show. And you just balled out. And that's all you want. Like, yeah, I'm trying to find ways to get more fans in the stands. But you know, that's tough right now, but, you know, I'm working on some things and trying to get some things in play, but,
yeah,
you know, I'll be at Miami game. I got some details on those stuff coming out soon, so don't worry, get ready. I'm trying to do some things to get fans involved there, but that's what it is, and so we're going to keep rebuilding. We're going to be strong. You know, we're going to finish strong, I believe. We got a bye, then, like you said, we go to Georgia Tech, and then we're back home versus Miami, so We got a few games left that we just got to get ready for and be prepared for. And that's all we can ask for at this rate.
These are going to be what I call gut check games. After this bye, I think really, if, you know, mentality, like, if that can't be changed during this bye week, then it's going to kind of tell you what the rest of the season is about to look like. So hopefully that they can turn it around. Hopefully they can get the momentum, all the good juju, and get back on the winning track. Moving on to men's basketball, like I said in our open, is that I interviewed Caden Shedrick from the men's basketball team. So this weekend, October 15th, there's a blue and white scrimmage. Again, fans, it's free.
It's free, fans.
Men and women's teams will be playing inner squad. Scrimmage for the fans mostly, but also to prepare for the season. So obviously you guys know, we talked about it in our first episode, the women's side has a new head coach, Coach Mox. So this will be her first time. And then right after the women play, the men will play again. This is free of charge. Gates will open at 12:30 PM on Saturday, 1 hour prior to the start, the first game. So go check them out, get you're probably going to get some signature signed by the men and women's teams. Go check them out.
Yeah. So how do you feel? Like, I know, you know, you're part of, you know, women's basketball and having these scrimmages and getting ready for the season. So, like, what was, like, your thought process? Like, you know, when the blue and white game is coming up, like, the season's here. Like, it's a long season. Like, how does your mind change from like summer workouts to fall workouts to like now it's preseason?
Yeah.
We're about to hit the ground running.
I feel like as soon as we have our first practice, which for them was probably about 2 weeks ago now, is when my mind changes to like season time. So the inter-squad scrimmage, blue and white scrimmage, it is more of a like, all right, what have we been working on for the past 2 weeks? And how does that look out on, you know, on JPJ's floor, not our practice gym and things like that. So it's more so like getting in the mood for a real game. But again, we're playing against people we play every day in practice. Yeah. So in regards to the like competitiveness, it's not heightened at all. But, you know, we also scrimmage other teams before.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, this is like, this is definitely season time. This is definitely new head coach. Who are we about to be? I'm very, very excited to see this women's program under Coach Mox. I'm planning to go down there in January to call a few games. So I will definitely be in the stands cheering them on when I'm not calling the games, because when I'm calling games, I have to be unbiased.
I'm about to say, be unbiased at that rate.
But without further ado, make sure you guys continue listening to hear this interview with Kaden Shedrick. Take L's every once in a while, got a charge to the game. You gotta charge it to the game. Let's welcome in Kaden Shedrick from the men's basketball team, a 6'11 redshirt junior from Holly Springs, North Carolina. How are you doing today? What are you up to tonight? Looks like you're out and about.
I'm doing well. I'm out here at the Virginia versus Florida State women's soccer game. My girlfriend's playing, so came out to support me and some of the guys.
She's on the UVA team or Florida State?
UVA team.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So you are from North Carolina. You were being recruited prior to your choice to attend the University of Virginia. You were being recruited by Louisville, Xavier, Wake Forest, Florida, Wisconsin, just to name a few. What sold you on the University of Virginia?
Yeah, so pretty much the reason why I came to Virginia was because the coaching staff, the whole program as a whole is pretty much everything I was looking for. Just the culture that they've built here. Coming out of high school, I knew I was probably going to have to redshirt if I wanted to be great. I looked at my options. I looked at what Virginia's done with their redshirts, you know, DeAndre Hunter, Jay Huff, Mamadou Diakite. I was like, I think it's the place for me. So that's why I'm here now.
Yeah, and so you talked about redshirting that freshman year is obviously something that the men's program is kind of known for, whether, you know, people do it for various reasons. For you, what was kind of your plan with that redshirt year, and how do you think that it has prepared you to have a season like you did last season?
Yeah, for me, the plan with my redshirt year was to get stronger and gain weight and to keep developing my skills because, you know, coming out of high school, I was still pretty raw. So that was the goal for me coming out of my redshirt year. I think I made significant strides going into my second year. I played some real minutes up until the point where I got sick. But it was good to see all the progress I had made. And, after I got sick, that kind of ruined my season. But I used that as an opportunity to continue to get better. And so it led up to last year. I got a full season of significant minutes. And I think I've developed a lot ever since I got to UVA.
For sure. I mean, last year, 35 games, 19 starts, averaged almost 7 points, 5 rebounds, 1.2 block shots. And you guys had a 20-plus win season last year, lost to St. Bonaventure in the third round of the NIT. What is the common theme heading into this next season?
Right. I mean, coaches have really been honest about being a hard-nosed team, making multiple efforts and being getting back to what Virginia is known for in our defense. As a team, we're just, first of all, of course, we want to make the NCAA tournament, but I think the main goal is just win one game at a time and see where that takes us. We're not really thinking about March. We're thinking about November 7th, or really we're thinking about tomorrow's practice. So just taking a day-by-day approach rather than looking too far ahead.
Yeah. And so I was in the same graduating class as Isaiah Wilkins, Zay. I know that you, I'm sure, I don't know, but I'm sure you do get some comparisons, you know, wearing the same number, his defensive efforts, your defensive efforts, especially around the rim, blocking shots. How has him being in the gym with you all, being on the sidelines of these games, being able to share his knowledge and wisdom, how has that helped you be able to see the game from a different view as well?
Yeah, adding Zay to, I guess, the coaching staff has been probably, you know, I've enjoyed it a lot. He's been incredibly helpful. He's a great resource. You know, he played in the program for 4 years, so he knows what he's talking about. He knows what we're going through. And not only for me, I think it's really good for the whole team to just have, like, somebody relatable that's gone through it, just, you know, on the sidelines, in practice with us, on the green team. So I appreciate everything Zay's doing for us.
Yeah. And so you guys have the blue and white scrimmage coming up at the end of or kind of middle of this month. What is the goal for the blue and white scrimmage? I know it's kind of a fanfare type of situation, just having played in it on the women's side. But what are some things that you want to focus on to just, you know, it's the first outing in front of fans. What are you looking forward to?
You know, the way that I've always viewed the blue white scrimmage was just like often like. We do segments in practice called O2D, where it's just, you know, get up and down. I just consider it to be an opportunity to get better with my teammates. And, you know, it's just the fact that fans are there. So, you know, it will be really cool for the fans to see. But for us, you know, we want to make sure we're really focused, especially on our defense. Because, you know, and things like that, not necessarily here, but, you know, at some other schools, it can turn into some crazy offensive affair. So, yeah. For us, we want to play the way that we would play any other game. So try and make it as competitive as possible. So that's what we'll be trying to do next weekend.
For sure. And so let's get some rapid fire questions in. Hopefully, you know, there shouldn't be too much background with these answers. It should be straight to the point. So I'm going to shoot some at you. Let's start with favorite place to eat on grounds.
My favorite place to eat is probably Jack Brown's.
Okay. Favorite thing to do in Charlottesville outside of playing basketball?
I enjoy going to the bowling alley here.
Okay. Is it like a Tuesday night? I know they used to have like a Tuesday night. It was like cheaper or something. $2 Tuesdays, I want to say.
You know, Chase Coleman goes like every week, but I just saw a shooting star. Sorry. that was cool. Chase Coleman goes like every week, like multiple times a week. You know, I only go like a couple of times, like
okay,
like once a month. But yeah, but I enjoy when I do go.
Nice. And so what UVA team? This is a question that I had but didn't know that you would be at the soccer game supporting your girlfriend. But what team do you support the most, would you say, outside of soccer?
I think I support women's soccer the most, but UVA football is probably not too far behind. You know, I try to go to all the games I can. I enjoy watching my fellow student athletes play, so I go to as many games as I can.
Okay. Yeah. And what's your girlfriend's name? What number is she? How can we,
Sarah Werner, number 18.
Number 18. Go give her a shout-out. Be at the games, y'all. And what's your go-to pregame song / artist that you have to listen to?
Nobody's going to know who this is, but my favorite artist is Yeet. He's a rapper. He's kind of like, not many people know him, but I love him.
Where is he from?
From like Seattle, I think.
Okay. Your favorite Charlottesville memory so far?
Favorite, does it have to be like in Charlottesville or like during like a any basketball season memory?
Any basketball season memory is fine too.
I would say beating Duke last year in Cameron. That was really cool. It made it even better that I had a pretty solid game. So yeah. That was really cool. Not everybody gets to win in Cameron, let alone play in Cameron. So
very true. Which teammate are you closest with?
Ooh, I'd say probably either my roommate Reese or Chase Coleman. I'm leaning to Chase Coleman. We've been here together for it's our fourth year together. So,
and which coach are you closest with?
If Zay counts, then Isaiah Wilkins.
Okay, which teammate has the best music playlist?
Ooh, we'll go with. Oh no, they all like NBA Youngboy and I don't like NBA Youngboy. I'll go with Chase.
Okay. Which teammate do you say is the most competitive?
Kia.
For sure. What's the jokester? Who's the jokester of the team?
Leon.
Okay. And who is the best dancer on the team?
I would say the best dancer. I'm gonna go with Chase.
Okay. Last question here. What if you can, I guess, encapsulate this junior season for you? Three words. What do you plan to leave on the court this year?
Wins, yeah. Effort, and blocks.
For sure. I appreciate it, and I respect that. Yep. Thank you so much, Kaden. Everybody tune in to Who's Together podcast. This is episode 3. And, yeah, that's a wrap.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Whole crew on top. Really, we on top.